Bibles tonight in the 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm excited to get to preach tonight. Amen. Brother Billy preached. Boy, he preached great last Sunday night. And then I preached a little bit Wednesday. But then we had Brother Don this morning. So I've not got to preach as much this week as I am like to. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to getting to preach a little bit. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and you found your place, stand to your feet, rest from your seat for just a few moments. We're going to use 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4 as the basis for a series of messages that we're going to start tonight and, Lord willing, preach through here on Sunday nights for the next little bit. And the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, tonight. God, would you bless us to preach through these things that you've so burdened our heart about? Lord, would you touch the hearts of those that listen tonight? God, give them hearing ears and understanding hearts. Do a work, Lord, in our midst as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. I want us to look tonight, like I said, I'm going to preach on this now for several Sunday nights. I'm preaching on the thought of the life of a Bible warrior. A life of a Bible warrior. Now, would it surprise you tonight that each and every one of us is in a battle? But we have allowed the devil to lull us into some sort of sense of false security when it comes to the church. And when we hear about a family that's busted up, we always think that'll never happen to me. That's always somebody else's family. When we hear about somebody that's got out in sin, we think that never will happen to me. That's always someone else that does those sorts of things. When we hear about church that's having trouble, we always say, that's somebody else. That's another church. That'll never happen here. And so the devil has lulled us into a false sense of security. But may I report to you tonight that the battle is real, and the battle is happening, and if you're saved by the marvelous grace of God, whether you like it or not, you are engaged in a battle. We live in this touchy-feely religious world of glazed-over Joel Osteen sort of religion where we think everything's just come in and everything's just dandy. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a real devil out yonder, and he's wrecking real homes, and he's destroying real people. And here's a newsflash. He don't play fair. I was talking to the men in the prayer room earlier. One of them said, "Boy, the battle's on right now. Seems like there's a lot going on." And certainly that's true. There's a lot of things that are swirling around what is the ministry of Concord Baptist Church right now. And there was a lady that spoke to me the other day, and she said, "I'm thinking about coming to your church." I said, "Amen, hallelujah, come on. I'd love to have you." And she said, "We was talking about it last night at the house." I said, "Amen, that's good." And she said, "Did you know your church is the most talked about church in all of Yancey County?" She said, "Both good and bad." Amen. I said, "Well, all I know is we try to love sinners and preach the gospel. God's been doing things. We're growing. God's helping us. And so what I know is this. Anytime you're doing anything for the Lord, you're rattling some cages. And you just as well as to expect the battle to get on." Now listen to your pastor tonight, because God sent me up here with a burden for some messages, and I'm going to help the church in the next few weeks, if you'll let me. I'm going to help this church. Now, I want to share just a few things with you. But I was talking to the men. They said, seem like there's a lot going on. Here's what I said. I said, men, there's always a battle happening. Sometimes we see it, and sometimes we don't. There's always a battle taking place. This last summer, Rachel and me and the kids, we were there at Gettysburg, and we took a tour of the battlefield there at Gettysburg. And out of all the things that I have ever done in my life, it ranks up in the top 10. It was the third time I'd been there. It never gets old to me. I love it. I go and take that tour, and I can just see the generals, and I can see the armies and all those different things as that battle begins to take shape. And I just love hearing about that. But something was said this time that I never had heard them say before. We were standing there just north of McPherson Ridge, looking back towards Seminary Hill. And as we were standing there, our tour guide said this was where the first day's Confederate battery was, where we're standing right now, and there's a monument there. And he said, if you had asked, he said, here's something interesting. He said, these men, these Confederate soldiers that stood where you're standing were only involved in the first day of the fight. And he said, most of these men did not know that the South had lost the Battle of Gettysburg until they read about it in the paper a few weeks later. He said, these men left Gettysburg thinking the South had won the Battle of Gettysburg, because all they saw was the little bitty portion of the battle that came by their way. You see, it wasn't like it is now. There wasn't jeeps and tanks and everything to hop into and go on to the battle. Once the battle had come by where you was and went to another area, all you saw was the part of the battle you saw. And what they saw, it looked like they had won convincingly. And I say the same is true with our spiritual lives. There's always a battle out there, folks. The devil hates Christians. The devil hates the Christian home. The devil hates Christian kids. Amen. The devil hates preaching preachers. The devil hates Bible-believing churches. And there's always a battle. He's always got something brewing. But every now and again, the battle gets close enough where we can start smelling the gunpowder. And where we can start hearing the cannons fire. And it's our job not to run and hide. And it sure ain't our job to run up the white flag of surrender. But our job is to dig in and fight and earnestly contend for the faith. That's what we need out of a church. It's a church of fighters. I went last week to East Yancey's Veterans Day program. And I was proud of Noah. Noah was in there. He's in the junior ROTC, and he had on his fatigues and his boots and the pants stuck down. I mean, he looked good, soldiering kind of fella, you know. And I watched them, you know, and they're marching, learning to do all that stuff. And I thought, hey, that's a manly thing to do, Noah. Amen. Good job, son. Be a man. Amen. But you know what we need at a house of God? We need some people to quit being such pansies. I can say that, can't I? Well, yes, my church. We need people to quit being pansies and start taking some stands for some stuff. And saying, you know what? Guess what? If a devil don't like it, that'll be all right. We just go stand on what thus saith the Word of God, and we're going to proclaim the book. Are you hearing what the pastor's preaching tonight? We need some people of conviction that are willing to stay with the stuff in this day and age in which we live. Now let me give you a few thoughts here. We see the enduring of the soldier. Paul said to Timothy, he said, endure hardship, endure hardness. So we know that soldiering is not easy. Anybody's ever been in the army, I've never met anybody that's ever been in the military, when you said, how was it? I've never heard them describe it as easy. I've heard a lot of descriptive terms, but I never heard anybody say, oh, that soldiering business, that's easy. Marine boot camp, Paris Island, piece of cake. We had the time of our lives. Never have heard it. Never have heard it. Amen. Because they're building character. Amen. They're building character, and so they're putting you through the mill. And there's the enduring of the soldier. But then we also see Paul here talks about the avoiding of entanglements. Because he said no soldier gets entangled with the affairs of this life. In other words, he said don't get all bent out of shape. Don't get all tied down by the affairs of this life. Because you and I are waging a spiritual warfare. And then we see the entrustment of the battle where Paul tells Timothy, he says that you must be a good soldier. Why? Because of the one that sent you. The one that has chosen him to be a soldier. And so we've been entrusted, folks. Now listen to me, Concord Baptist Church. I can't control what the church down the road does. I can't control what the church in towns are preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. We've been entrusted with something right here at the Concord Baptist Church that's mighty valuable. And it has come, it has fallen our lot and our time to do the Christian soldiering and to be the Christian warriors. And serving in God's business is no place for tares. Now I want you to turn with me. We're going to use that as kind of a jumping off place every time as we look at this, the life of a Christian warrior. I want you to turn with me and see what the Bible says to our hearts tonight in the book of Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And tonight I want to share with you a thought on the warrior's mindset. The warrior's mindset. Stay with me and I'll not keep you long. The Bible said in Philippians chapter number 2 and there about verse number 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now I want you to do me a favor tonight. I want everybody to take their right index finger and hold it up just like you're saying you're number one. All right, now take your left index finger and hold it up. Now we're number two. Now I want you to take both those fingers and put them on the temples of your head. Hold it. In between your fingers is the biggest problem you've got. Some of you got more between your fingers than others. Amen. But in between your fingers is the biggest problem you have. It's a mind problem. If I heard it once, I heard it 10,000 times. When I went through basic training, again and again and again, the instructors at basic law enforcement training would say, you boys have got to get your mind right. I'd say, it ain't my mind that's killing me. It's my legs that won't work. They said, you've got more in the tank. Run. You can do more. Do it. I'd say, I can't. They'd say, you've got to get your mind right. It's a mind problem. Can I say to you tonight, and the spiritual warfare, most of it happens right here in between your temples. And you've got to get that right before you can do anything else. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? Again and again, God uses His preachers to tell us in the Word of God about girding the loins of our mind and keeping our mind, lest we should faint in our minds. There's a mind game going on. There's a mind warfare that's happening. And you'd better get your mind where it needs to be. So I want to preach tonight on the mindset of a warrior. Now what we see in these verses as Paul encourages the church at Philippi to have the same mindset of Christ. Can I present Christ to you in a way that maybe you have never thought about Him? We think about Christ, it's getting almost Christmas time, and we think about Him, Brother Neil, as a babe in a manger. We think about Christ and His healing and His miracle working and all of the different things, but can I tell you the primary purpose that Christ came to this earth? Christ came to this earth as the ultimate warrior. And when He marched up Calvary's hill, He was fighting a battle in a most unusual way. He gave His life and surrendered His life in order that He might win victory over death, hell, and the grave. And through the triumph of Calvary, He came out the ultimate warrior, the ultimate victor. And now you and I who are saved are made more than conquerors. And we fight from the position of victory because Christ hath given us the victory. But Paul said, this ultimate warrior Christ, he said, I want you to have the same mind in you that He had in Him. There's a lot in this life that'll worry you. Keep you up at night. What is it? Oh, I'll tell you what it is. It's your mind. Lay there and think about things. Maybe it's just me. Anybody else like me? I get mad at somebody and I'll lay there and think about when I'm going to see them. And what I'm going to say. Envision proper shot placement. No, I'm kidding. I lay there and things go through my mind. I think about it. Your mind turns over and over, and before you know it, hours are gone and you've not got any sleep. Am I the only one? And their mind is, and the devil sometimes will infiltrate in there and begin to make us doubt and begin to make us question. No wonder Paul put so much emphasis on the mind. Now, what is it to have a warrior's mindset? Is it possible for us to help make our mind more bulletproof? Because that's the key. Listen to me now. That's the key. Because if the devil's going to mess with you, it's going to be right here. It's always a mind game. Listen to me right here. Listen to me. If he's going to mess with you right here, is where he's going to do it. Oh, I'm right. Now I want you to listen to something tonight. And I've made this statement before, but I think it bears mentioning again. What goes on around you is nowhere near as important as what goes on inside of you. Listen to me, church. What goes on around you is not as important as what goes on inside of you. You say, preacher, around me everything's falling apart. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. I've got this trouble. I've got that heartache. Oh, yeah, hey, everybody does. We could poll everybody in here, and everybody in here would be weeping and crying and hugging on one another before we got out of here because everybody in here's got problems. The difference between the person that has problems and marches on and the person that has problems and wallows in them is what's going on inside of them. Not what's going on around them, but what's going on inside of them. See, they become overwhelmed in their mind. About 3 months ago, I decided that what I'm going to do is I'm going to park my truck and not drive it so much, and I'm just going to start driving the Tahoe. After we'd bought the little Mini Cooper, Rachel had drove it almost exclusively. The Tahoe hadn't hardly moved out of its tracks. And I said, well, I'll drive the Tahoe. Well, I tried to start that thing, and you ain't never seen what all it said for 3 months. Am I lying? I mean, lights flashing, buzzers beeping. The headlights had come on and the engine had died. I mean, it was just the strangest thing you ever seen. When I looked at it, I said, there ain't no way I can fix this. You know, it ain't putting air in the tire and it ain't changing the oil. So it's beyond my capabilities. But I know some boys that can fix anything. And so I called Steve and Billy They come up there with their diagnostic tools and things to plug in. They plugged in and looked and scanned and read and scratched their head and looked at me and looked back and forth, and I thought, this ain't good. And I heard something come out of Steve Robinson's mouth that I never would have dreamed I would have ever have heard come out of his mouth. And that was these words, "I can't fix it." I started to dig a hole and bury it. At that time, I still had collision insurance on it, and when that big flood come, I thought really seriously about pulling it out on that bridge below my house with my pickup and just leaving it there. But I had it towed over to a mechanic that I trust, and he got to looking at it, and one day I stopped by there, Brother Neil, and he said, what did you find out about the Tahoe? And he said, oh, where do we start? Where do we start? I said, oh, this is not good. He said, well, he said, for one thing, it's losing oil pressure. He said, I don't know why, but he said, sometimes on these 6-0 motors, there's a screen back in there that gets stopped up. If we're lucky, that's what that is. But he said, when I hooked it up and got the reading back from the onboard diagnostics, it came back with 56 trouble codes. He said, that's the most I've ever seen. 56 trouble codes. He said, so, you're going to need an ABS module. You're going to need 2 wheel speed sensors. And he just kept naming things that I was going to need. I said, okay, well, you know, let's not get over $2,000, because if we get over $2,000, we're going to get above the value of the vehicle. So let's just fix what we can here. Long story short, I picked it up this week. 3 months, $1,190 later, I picked it up, and now it don't have any lights on. Hallelujah. I've got a problem with the gas tank now. I might have to take it back, but no lights on. Last Doug, I said, what about that, when the headlights would come on, it'd die and all that stuff? He said, you know what I think that was? He said, I think that computer was so overwhelmed because it was throwing so many trouble codes that it just would give up. And it was drawing so much power trying to throw all them trouble codes and figure out what was happening that it just the battery in the alternator couldn't handle it. He said, that's all I can figure. He said, because since I fixed all these, we've not had that problem anymore. And I thought to myself, there's been times when I got so overloaded, mind so full of so many different things, I felt like if the headlights were to come on, that I'd just quit. Some of you are there tonight. Your mind is overloaded. Oh, things running through there. You say, preacher, how do I fix it? How can I? You can't. You've got to let God fix it. I'm going to tell you something, though. God is in the mind-fixing business. I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight about this warrior's mindset. Let me give you 3 or 4 things here real quick. I didn't even mean to be that long. But number one, the warrior's mindset is a servant mindset. Look at verse 7. The Bible said that the Lord made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. The warrior's mindset is a servant's mindset. A true warrior never battles for himself. Think about that. When a Marine kicks in a door in the Kandahar province and goes in there to clear out a room, he don't do it because he just got up that morning and decided to. He does it because he's wearing the old red, white, and blue on his shoulder, and he's doing it for America. He answers to a greater cause. In the times that You think about SWAT operators across this country tonight that are going to kick in doors and soak up bullets right here stateside. They don't do that for fun. They don't do that because they think it's exciting. They do that for the greater good. They do that to defend the Constitution. They do that to keep communities safe. They're answering to a higher cause. Are you hearing what I'm preaching tonight? Listen to me. We answer to a higher cause this evening. If you want to have a servant's mindset, if you want to have a warrior mind, then you can't be caught up about you. It can't be about you, you, you. It's got to be about Him, Him, Him. You've got to have a servant's mindset. I remember when Travis was there the night that we were on the manhunt there in South Tow, and it was raining the hardest I'd ever seen it rain. And it was pitch black dark, and we were searching for this little fellow that they said would kill us if we found him. Several times during that night as I would ease around through the woods, I'd think to myself, this is the dumbest thing I've done in my life. What am I doing? How did I ever pick this as a way of life? This is crazy. Every twig got broke. Your heart jumped. Easing around through there. I was thinking, this is dumb. This is dumb, dumb, dumb. But I stayed. You know why? Because all around that patch of woods was little houses. And inside them houses was children that had laid down that night to go to sleep. And they was expecting somewhere for there to be a man with a badge and a gun that's going to keep the bad man from coming in their house and messing with them in their sleep. And we were it. So we had a greater cause. I don't think Travis even knows it yet, but he's working the road with me tomorrow. That makes him feel a lot better. I know. Oh, Lord. But in the morning when I get up, and I've not strapped a badge on much in the last 6 months, but I'll get up and put my gun, my badge, and my stuff back on and go out and work a day. When I put that badge on, that state of North Carolina seal, and it says sheriff on the top, you know what that says? That says I'm representing a force greater than me. That's the wonderful thing about law enforcement. I heard another officer tell a thug this one time that was a gang member. He said, oh, I'm a member of the gang. And this law enforcement officer that was with me, he said, you don't understand, we're a member of the biggest gang in the country. He said, you kill one of us, we just keep coming. And he said, they're going to send all we got in this county, and then they're going to send all we got in the next county, and then the highway patrol's going to start sending them. He said, you don't even want to mess with us. We got more members than any gang in the country. You listen to what I'm just telling you. That's the attitude we got to have as Christians. We serve a greater purpose. We serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. It can't be about us. This can't be our church, my ministry, No. It's got to be Him, 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 Him. We've got to have a servant's mindset if we're going to have a warrior's mindset. Why do you think them soldiers climbed off them boats on D-Day and run into certain death? Because they were serving a greater purpose. Are you listening to me tonight? They were serving a greater purpose. Listen, I'm not asking you tonight to believe in me. I'm not asking you to believe in the church. I'm not even asking you to believe in one another. What I'm asking you to do is to believe in a cause that is bigger than you. David said to his brethren, he said, is there not a cause? Jude tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. It's come our time to fight. We've got to have a warrior's mindset. And that mindset is the mindset of a servant. Let me give you this. Not only does a warrior's mindset have to be a servant's mindset, but we see a warrior's mindset has to be a surrendered mindset. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. You know what the Lord did when he opened his eyes in Bethlehem? He fixed them toward Calvary. And he didn't come for any other purpose but to die and to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I want you to hear what the preacher's saying tonight. There is a certain thing that you and I must embrace if we're to have a warrior's mindset. And I'm going to explain this the best I can. This will be the biggest point. The other two are real quick. But if you'll listen right here, what I'm about to explain to you right here tonight that God has given me some special insight on will go further toward bulletproofing your mind than anything else that you've heard tonight. Again, when I was sitting in the classroom at basic law enforcement training, we were sitting there one morning listening to a lecture on constitutional law, trying to stay awake. Nine little bald heads sitting in there trying to stay awake. And all of a sudden, a man burst in the door and began to shoot us indiscriminately. Now, fortunately, that man was First Sergeant Staggs. Now, in order for you to understand who First Sergeant Staggs is, I want you to think about Sergeant Carter on Gomer Pyle. This is kind of what First Sergeant Staggs looks like. He's a short, stocky guy. If he walked in the back door right now, you'd go, oh, that's the highway patrol. Even if he didn't have a uniform on, he just looks like the highway patrol. Well, he'd come in with an airsoft gun, and in just a split second, he had shot seven or eight people right in the forehead. Just pat, 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 pat. Oh, there was some stunned looks. I happened to be on the end of the row, Brother Neil. So I jumped up, turned my table over, and got under it. He wasn't shooting me. He said later that was smart, but all it was pure fear. He looked at us, and in no uncertain terms, he said, why weren't you boys ready for that? One of the cadets popped up and he said, well, we thought we were safe in here. He looked back and he said, you're never safe. He said, you ought to always have a plan, boys. You got to have a plan. He said, somebody should have had a plan for what would happen if somebody bursts through the door and goes to shooting. You boys have got to have a plan. He said, it's time that you boys get real paranoid. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What he said next would forever change my life. He said, there are bad men out there, and all they're doing right now is plotting to kill you. And he said, the quicker you accept that fact, the better off you'll be. He said, because people who don't accept that fact, what happens when somebody starts shooting at them is they go, I can't believe this is happening. Why is this happening? Their brain tries to rationalize it, and that whole time they're getting shot at instead of going, oh, I knew this was going to happen. Can I submit to you tonight, church, this fact? The devil hates this church. The devil hates your home. The devil hates you kids. And he's got a plan. And the quicker that you can accept that, the better off you'll be. I'm talking to preachers all across this country that have faced problems and faced hardships. And you know what they say to me? They say, I never seen it coming. I didn't realize that could happen. I never figured that would happen. I couldn't believe it was happening. You know what? They'd have been a whole lot better off if they'd have expected it. They'd have been a whole lot better off if they knew it was coming. They'd have been a whole lot better off if they'd have prepared their mind for the fact that the battle is about to happen. Listen. Listen right here. People all across, not just preachers, but particularly preachers, but people all across this country quit. Because they didn't take time to prepare themselves for a battle. Are you listening to what the preacher's preaching tonight? They did not take the time to prepare themselves. They didn't take time to get their mind right. They didn't take time to get their mind ready in order to face the battle that was about to come. Let me share with you just a real little story. Y'all all right? Everybody okay? Something the news media buried this week was that they had released the report about the shooting at Majority Stoneman High School in Broward County. Broward County, the Broward County Sheriff's Office has done over the last few years what a lot of Baptist churches have done. They quit being a sheriff's office and they started being this little frilly community policing stuff. This little frilly CIT, talk people down stuff. That's getting a lot of officers killed. But they quit. They didn't want to talk about a warrior mindset. Oh, that sounds like war. That sounds like war. We can't have that. Law enforcement officers, you know, they can't. But so they taught all this other stuff. And so what happened was on the day of that shooting, when the lady that was in charge of that area showed up, her name was Jan Johnson. When she pulled in a captain for the sheriff's office, she was totally, she was caught like a deer in the headlights. You know why? She couldn't believe it was happening. Because nobody trained her to be a warrior. And so instead of doing anything about it, what she did was go. While all them teenagers died. Now a warrior would have showed up, grabbed the AR out of the car, loaded one in it, grabbed that school resource officer and said, "Get off the ground, here we go. If we get shot, we get shot. Cowboy up time." And went in there and made a difference. Now you say, "Why are you talking all this law enforcement stuff, preacher?" Because God has let me see some things this week about how it goes along spiritually. Trouble comes in churches and people go, "I can't believe this happened." And instead of getting in the trenches and saying, "Oh boy, here we go. Lord, you help us. We're getting ready to start sending lead down range. We're putting it on the devil and we're putting it on him today. We're not going to let this crowd tear my church up. We're not going to let this happen. We're going to go ahead and accept the fact that trouble's coming and we're going to stand no matter what. You won't run us off." Are you hearing what I'm preaching? Instead of doing that, they go, "Whoa. You need to go ahead and accept the fact it's coming. Now listen to me. Listen to me right here. It is coming. We must accept the fact. The warrior's mindset is a surrendered mindset. You say, "Preacher, I don't like it. People are going to talk about us." Listen to me. So what? Some slack-jawed moron's got something to say about me. That's be all right. There's 150 million Christians killed during the Dark Ages. We can let somebody talk about us. 150 million Christians murdered in the Dark Ages. It'll be all right if somebody writes my name on a truck. You say, "Oh, but preacher, listen, just go ahead and get your mind right. The battle's coming. The battle's coming." And we can all run around and then go shoot at one another. That sounds like a good plan, right? There's a story about a general. And his whole platoon was under attack. They came to him. They came running to him. "General, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" He looked at him and he said, you, and you panic. The rest of you come with me." He had a plan for everything. We can run around and shoot at one another. Or we can say, "Bless goodness, we're in this together. We're going to have a warrior's mindset, and a warrior's mindset is a mindset that is surrendered to the fact that we know trouble's coming. We know that problems are going to hit, but when they do, we're staying together. We're going to fight together. We're going to lean on one another. We're going to help one another. We're going to pick up the wounded. We're going to stay in the fight. We're going to fly our flag. Hallelujah! We're going to fly our flag and be what we are. Number three, a warrior's mindset is sacrificial. It said that Christ died a death, even the death of the cross. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you would be willing to serve God if it meant you had to lay your life down? Most people these days have never heard of Polycarp back during the Dark Ages. They set him on fire and then they pierced his side and the blood put the fire out, and it was a bad idea for them because Polycarp just kept preaching. They said, "Hush!" He said, 86 years have I served him and he's never done me wrong. I shall not hush. What if it took laying down your life? Who in here, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think about it. Who in here has ever surrendered anything to be a Christian? I mean, we live in the country where it's the easiest place on the face of the planet to be one. I can give you a million reasons why you ought to be at church every time the doors open, but you know one of the best reasons I can give you to be at church every time the doors open? Because there was a lot of people during the Dark Ages that bled and died and gave their lives hiding in the catacombs and meeting from house to house. There's been millions of American soldiers that have died on foreign fields so that you and I could have this privilege that we have tonight to gather together in a warm church house and praise God according to the dictates of our own heart. That's a pretty good reason to be here. Hey, listen, would you be willing to sacrifice? Oh, it's getting quiet. You ever seen them pictures of them D-Day soldiers? They look like kids. They got hats down. I thought about it as they was going with them amphibious landing vehicles up over them waves. Brother Brian, they could hear them German machine guns cutting down. Pop, 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 pop. As the gate dropped, they said by the fourth or fifth vehicle that landed, the water was absolutely red with blood. But them boys didn't back up. They come out of them assault vehicles. Some of them didn't make it three steps until they were cut in two by a German machine gun, sent back home on an airplane in a flag-draped box. But they did that. They were willing to sacrifice because they believed in a cause. How many of you believe in the cause of Christ? Really? How many of us believe? Do you believe? I said, do you believe? Then wherever the Lord drops our ship, we ought to grab our gun and go running out. Now let me give you this, and I'm going to give an altar call. The warrior mindset is a sacrificial mindset, but the warrior mindset in the end is a successful mindset. Look what the Bible said in verse 9. The Bible said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." I lived one of the best childhoods that ever was. Everybody knows I grew up in an army man's house. Most people got up in the mornings to mama going, "Sweetheart, time to get up." I got up in the mornings to hit the floor, troop. He was just joking, but I heard it a lot. Hit the floor, troop, get up, time to get up. Let me tell you one thing that's great about my dad. I'll brag on him just a little bit. I've always, you know, looked up to his service and the time he spent in Vietnam and all them stories. It made me want to be a soldier or a policeman or something. I was all the time out in the woods fighting the Russians. Y'all don't know this, but when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, the only thing that kept communism from taking over Pensacola was my work against the Russians. I mean, it was phenomenal. I killed a lot of them single-handedly. Unbelievable stuff. But one day we were coming home from school. We started across Bowens Creek. And my dad said, "Son, I want you to meet somebody that's a real hero." And so we turned in a little house there on Bowens Creek. The man's name was Virgis Anglin. Anybody in here ever know Virgis Anglin? Virgis Anglin fought in the Battle of Iwo Jima. He had pictures of the Marines raising the flag on Iwo Jima that would later become the Marine Memorial in Washington, D.C. Had pictures of that happening. My dad took me in there, and there was an older gentleman, and he was set back and relaxed now. Gone were the thoughts of the days of Iwo Jima. But all along the wall, Brother Marvin, were commendations. The Department of the Navy recognizes. You say, "Well, Virgis was a Marine." Believe it or not, the Marine Corps is part of the Department of the Navy. Purple Heart, Bronze Star, all these things. Several Purple Hearts. My dad said, "Show him the Japanese dog tags." Burgess went over and dug around, opened up a box of Japanese dog tags. Some of them still blood stained. You say, "That's gross. It spoils a war." He said, "We cut these off the fellas when we came out of off the island." You think that's gruesome? He had another box full of gold teeth. He said with a gleam in his eye, "All them Japanese soldiers had two gold teeth right here in the front, and a bayonet would pop them right out." That's a soldier. Actually, that's a Marine. But I watched him. We went by there two or three different times. He also made knives, and I was interested in that. But I watched him as when he'd get to tell me, just a little boy, about what all he'd won and the way that he'd done it and the battles that he'd fought. Boy, the gleam would come back in his eye and he'd sit up straight again and he could tell you every detail about what had happened and how he won that Purple Heart and how he won this Purple Heart and how that he got this Bronze Star and all of the spoils of war and everything that had happened. And then it all seemed worth it. Everybody in here that's saved is a soul. And there comes a time, like it did in Paul's life, where we all lay our fighting instruments down. You know what Paul was able to tell Timothy at the end of this book that I just started reading you? He was able to say, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." But that's not all he said. He said, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." You see, one of these days, the old Christian soldier gets to go home. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm hoping that when I walk across the finish line, I'm hoping when I walk my last step, I hope I've had a warrior's mindset, and I hope I'm able to say I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course, I did it right, and I'm able to go into home and receive some rewards, and receive some things that I can cast at His feet, and say, "I did it for you, I did it for you." Don't you want to get a reward for fighting the good fight of faith? "Preacher, I'm fainting in my mind. I'm fainting in my mind." A man can do a lot of things as long as he's got his mind into it. Seat of the affection, the heart. Listen to me now, church. Don't be distracted. The cause is Christ's. The fight is His. We got to have a warrior's mentality. Amen. A lot of you have been encouraging me, and I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. Oh, man, it's good to have a church that will take up for you and encourage you. Oh, that's awesome. But a lot of people saying, preacher, hey, man, don't let that get you down. The only way it can get me down is if I let it. Because it's all a mindset. It's all a mindset. Are we willing to have a warrior's mindset when it comes to fighting for Christ? Let's stand our feet. Father, Lord, we know tonight that You've worked on our heart all week long about this message. Lord, we know tonight that across this auditorium are Christians that You have set aside to be warriors. You've set aside to earnestly contend for the faith. But we're going to have a warrior's mindset. Lord, so we don't run, so we don't back down, so we don't cower. We're going to have a warrior's mindset. Help us, Lord, to gather together and get that mindset as we leave this place. Do that as only You can, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Some are already.